Hello, my name is Lewis, and I love Christmas. I love everything about it. The snow, the lights. I'm sorry. But most of all, I love the reason for the season. That's why this year, as a Christian, I got so tired of hearing that disrespectful phrase. You know the one. Happy holidays. Every time somebody'd say it to me, I would give them a good old Merry Christmas right in their face. Booyah for the Messiah!
Stop getting riled up. You're gonna hurt yourself.
Mom! I'm trying to talk here.
Whatever. I'm calling Dr. Goldstein.
Sorry. I had to move back in with my mother after all this.
Tell the truth, sweetie.
Fine. I've always lived with my mother.
Against my better judgment.
Mom! Can I just tell my story? So recently, I went to the supermarket to pick up some eggnog. As I walked in, the guy standing next to the grocery carts throws a big, "Happy holidays, mister," right in my face like it's no big deal. But guess what?
What, honey?
It was a rhetorical question, Mom. I am building the drama of the story.
Always so dramatic.
What? Oh, I'm the dramatic one? Oh, really? Anyway, the kid, this happy holidays punk, just got me riled up. So I grab the nog and I go to pay. The clerk rings me up, and what does she say? Happy holidays. I was enraged. I was in a blind fury. I jump up on the counter, I grab the microphone, and I yell into it. It's not a holiday, people! It's Christmas! I'm mad as heck, and I'm not gonna take it anymore! Unfortunately, my foot slipped, triggering the conveyor belt. Now, bread and milk doesn't seem to be moving too fast, but a 175-pound man flies off that belt. And fly I did. Not like a majestic eagle or a Superman. I flew like a partridge falling out of a pear tree. I flew into a display of Chia Pet nativity sets. Thus, my current condition. And then something funny happened. A gift arrived for me. Mom, a little help, please? No, not that one. No. No, to your left. Your left! No, the one that arrived! That's the one. Thank you.
You watch your tone with me, mister.
Huh? It was from Elizabeth. The girl whose checkout stand I'd commandeered. She'd given me a gift. At first, it didn't make sense. I didn't deserve anything good from her. Not the way I'd acted. I'd acted like a maniac. But then I got to thinking. I had been bound up in religion. And I didn't want to be bound up anymore. Religion is always having to be right. Grace, that's being right with others, being right with God. So this gift, I don't know what's in it. It could be more eggnog. It could be a Chia Pet nativity set. Doesn't matter. The real gift is better than either of those things.
Oh, you two are destined for wedlock!
Mom! Why did you do that? Why do you always go there? We're not going to get married!
It's a match made.
I don't even know her!
But you said she was...
It doesn't matter if I said she was cute!
All right. Before we get to Lewis and talking a little bit about his story, I want to start off with a little bit of Christmas trivia for you this morning. See who knows their Christmas movies or Christmas stories. So I'm going to give you a quote, and I want to see if anyone knows where this is from. All right, so here we go. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Scrooge, very good, from A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Well done. Absolutely. Great quote. You know, Christmas is a season that has the potential to bring out the best and sometimes the worst in us, doesn't it? For Lewis, he was a man, who made it his mission to get rid of everyone who was saying Happy Holidays and replace it with Merry Christmas. That was his hill to die on, or at least his hill to fall off of. But Lewis was so bound up in this thing. And we saw that Christmas didn't actually bring out a lot of good in him, but brought out a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. This angry lunatic, though, was shown something amazing when he was given a gift of grace. A gift of grace. And that is what we're talking about today, is the incredible gift of grace that we've been given. Now, just before we get into this, I want to take just a moment to define grace. Lewis kind of gave us a bit of a definition of it already, but here's what it says in the dictionary. Now, the dictionary has a lot of different nuances of grace, because grace, you know, can be how nicely you walk or how your kind of presence around people, but grace, for our purposes, has a couple of definitions that come up. A manifestation of favor, doing something that is favorable to someone, or mercy, clemency, or pardon. Now, if you want to say it another way, you could probably just say this. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve, or when we don't get what we did deserve. So that's what we're talking about today, is grace. Now, what are some examples of grace? Well, for Lewis, he received a gift. After he had behaved like a total raving lunatic and had been very unkind to someone, that person still extended grace in giving him a gift, doing something really nice for this man who had made such an incredible fool of himself. Sent him a gift, extended grace. For me, last Sunday night, we had booked a dinner with some friends who we wanted to do as a thank you dinner for them. So we were taking them out for dinner to a restaurant. We had arranged this a few weeks back, trying to coordinate calendars and schedules because everyone's busy at this time of year. And so we had set up this time. And so we had it in our calendar, 7 o'clock, we were meeting them out for dinner. And I was out just running around doing all sorts of errands in the afternoon. And I was at Superstore. And I mean, you guys know how it is right now in the stores. So I was just kind of like, ah. And at about 4:45, this thought kind of dawned on me. Did I put the wrong time in the calendar? And it was just one of those moments where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to call and check. Because I remember the times we had been talking about a different day to get together. It hadn't worked out. And then whatever. So I called up their house and got their daughter on the phone and said, hey, are your mom or dad around? No, actually, they just left. Where were they going? Yeah, they're meeting you guys for dinner. Okay, so they thought it was 5 o'clock, not 7 o'clock. So anyways, we got in touch and whatever and worked it out. So we ended up meeting them at 5:30 and had a wonderful time with them. But as we got there, I had like the big apology on because I felt like such an idiot. Oh my goodness, you know, you have it planned, you use the calendar, everything's good, unless you blow it. But they showed grace. They were so just, you know, they're wonderful about it, didn't make a big deal about it at all. But I wonder for you, when have you been shown grace? Lewis was shown grace by a checkout cashier. We were shown grace by friends when we totally messed up our time together. When have you been shown grace? Now, we're talking about grace today, and we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, which is a letter that Paul wrote to a church in Ephesus many, many years ago. Ephesus in Turkey, modern-day Turkey now. We're going to be reading just a few words that he has to say about grace and what it is. But just before we do that, let's take a moment and pray and ask God to speak to us as we read his word together today. Father, we thank you so much for grace. We thank you for the experiences of grace that we have had. And Lord, as we dig into your word a little bit more today and explore the wonder of this gift. May we be captivated again by your amazing grace for us. So, Father, as we get into your word, open our eyes to see what we need to see. Open our hearts just to receive what we need to receive today. And we pray that we hear your word today and not mine, for we ask it in Jesus' good name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to read just a few verses from Ephesians chapter 2. This is verses 8 to 10. And they may come across as very familiar verses, but here it is. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want to capture three things this morning about this gift of grace. And the first piece is, the grace is, in fact, a gift. Paul said it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, speaking of gifts, I actually, you know, I have a little gift here today, and got this together. I thought maybe I could give this out to someone. You know what? Tim, I bet you'd love this. Why don't you come on up here, man? Just come on up. I'll give this to you. Yeah, it's just something small, but I thought, you know, you might appreciate, you know, a little early Christmas gift. A little fun to open something up. You don't have to open it now. You can open it later, but here you go, buddy. All right. You can have that. Hey, you're welcome, man. Enjoy. Yeah, that's great. Oh, actually, Tim, can you just come back here, buddy? I almost forgot. I got the receipt right here so that you know how much you owe me. Let's see. There was the gift, and then taxes. There's miscellaneous for wrapping supplies, label, ink out of the pen. What? What? Yeah, okay. Go ahead, man. What felt wrong about that? It ain't a gift if I'm asking for money back. If I'm giving something and then saying, okay, now pay me for this, it's not a gift. A gift is something freely given with nothing expected in return. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is not something you have earned. This is not something you deserve. This is a gift freely given by the God of the universe, who looks down at you, looks at all that you've done, and in love and mercy says, I give you my grace. Pardon, clemency, mercy, favor as a gift. Grace is a gift. It is not something that you somehow buy back or pay for later. It is a gift. But if grace is a gift, what does it actually do? What does it accomplish, this gift from God, this grace that we have from God? Well, grace really helps to move us. And let me explain what I mean by that. We need to look a little bit around these verses to see a little bit more what Paul's talking about when he talks about this grace that God's given us to bring us to be saved. What is that about? Well, there's a movement that happens. And if we read right back at the start of Ephesians, I'm going to read a few extra verses. This kind of captures it. But as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. This is who you were. You were people who did what felt good to you. And as a result, you didn't follow the commands of God. You didn't follow the ways of God. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. That is where you were. But by God's grace, he doesn't leave you there. This is what he says as you carry on in verses 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in all the stuff you were doing, in the way that you were gratifying the cravings of your sinful desires, in the way that you did whatever felt right to you. You were dead. But by grace, God has made you alive in Christ Jesus. Grace moves us from being dead to being alive. It moves us from being bound up in sin and trapped to being freed up to live as God has created us to live. Now, Lewis was pretty bound up. Quite literally, he was bound up in a body cast. But more than that, he was bound up by pride and judgmentalism and anger and frustration. I mean, you could just feel it in his interactions with his mom. He was a man that was completely bound up. As he said, I was bound up by religion. And I didn't want to be bound up anymore. What binds you up? What is the stuff in your life that just ties you up and keeps you from experiencing a fullness of life and a joy that God has for you? Grace moves us from being stuck and bound up to being free. And as Scripture tells us, if the Son has set you free, if Jesus has set you free, you will be free indeed. So God's grace moves us from being dead to alive, but it also moves us from being separate and far off to being near and in relationship. Here's what it says. Oh, there we go. You are separate from Christ, without hope and without God in the world. This is where you were. This is what defines who you were before knowing Jesus Christ and the grace of God. You were separate from him. You were alone in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near. At one time you were far from God. The relationship between you and God was broken. It's like oftentimes a picture is drawn of this chasm between us and God, and then the cross goes in the middle, so it's like this bridge that Jesus made at the cross so we can now be connected in relationship with God. You were once far from him because of the stuff you used to do, just gratifying your own sinful desires. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near. Grace moves us from dead to alive, from far to near to God, from marginalized to loved. That is what grace and the grace of God does. So grace is a gift. And grace moves us from that place of broken relationship with God and others to a place where there's wholeness, there's freedom, there's life, there's joy, there's closeness. But what does it do it for? I mean, there is something in that in itself that is enough, but there's even more. As we move to a place of experiencing God's grace, it changes how we are with others. Now, I want you to think of a time when you have been with a person of grace. Okay? Someone who maybe has extended grace to you, or you just know, I mean, they're gracious to everyone that they meet. Grace-filled person. I want you to think of them. And think about how different the temperature in the room is when they're around and when someone who is angry and bitter and frustrated is around. How different is that feeling? Being with a person of grace. See, when we begin to receive the grace that God's given us, when we receive grace, now we are also able to extend grace to others. Now, we read it in the verses, and you've been saved by grace through faith. This is, the gift of God's that no one can boast. Then it goes on to say this: for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are made to do great things. Just let that settle in for a minute. You are made to do great things. God has prepared things from way before you were born, for you, specifically at this moment in history, at this place in history, he has placed you here to do things that he prepared for you. great things. And as we receive the grace of God, we are able to then do those things. As we receive grace, we're able to better extend grace, which is going to do the things that God wants us to do. This last year, I was at the Arrow Leadership Course, and I've talked a lot about this over the last several months. But, you know, I went to this course thinking, great, they're going to teach me to be a better leader. And I'm going to learn all kinds of leadership skills and leadership tricks and all these kinds of things so that I can be a better leader and lead, you know, better programs and lead better things and train people better, all those things. And that was my expectation going into it. But what actually happened there was God began to show me again his grace and his love for me. And I can tell you that beyond anything else I learned there, that was the most profound, the most meaningful, and the most transformational thing I could have got. Because as I let the love and the grace of God penetrate more deeply into who I am, it has made it so much easier to have that same grace and love for those around me. And I realized through that process how cold and bitter I was at the core of my heart. But as God began to shape and change that and affirm his grace for me, it has made it, it's just incredible the difference in how I see people around me. And that's what he longs to do. As we receive the gift of grace, it makes us more able to then extend grace to others around us. And we can do the good things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. So as we think about this gift of grace, the gift of grace that is so evident at a season like Christmas, because we talk about the coming of Jesus, and Jesus is the greatest gift ever given to the world, because it extended God's grace to us. It showed his immense love to us. I want us to consider a couple of things. First, to start by receiving God's gift of grace for you. Now, this, you know, maybe for the first time. Maybe it's something you've never even thought about, heard about, considered. Maybe, you know, this whole God thing is more about just kind of figuring out if you could be real or not and all the philosophy behind that. But here's the thing. To know who God is, you really do need to experience his love for you. And so maybe even for the first time, what this invitation is about is just receiving the gift of God's grace for you. To allow him to come in and bring forgiveness and healing for the spaces in your life where you have walked on your own and walked in ways apart from him, just satisfying your own cravings, your own desires. And allow the grace of God to come and bring healing and wholeness and a greater joy in your life. To invite him in. Maybe for you, you've done that already, and you know the grace of God. You know you've been in, maybe you've known it for years. But perhaps there's some part of your life, some part in your heart, where that grace has not yet penetrated. There's some piece of you where you still feel that pride and maybe even resentment and bitterness, judgmentalism towards others. And there's a space that you need to invite God into to allow his grace to penetrate into that part of who you are. For me, I didn't think I had that kind of space. But I can tell you it makes a huge difference when you let God in. You don't deserve it. There's nothing you can do to earn it or to pay him back for it. You can't go out and do the works that God has prepared for you in advance to do and then suddenly think, okay, now I've finally done enough to earn the grace of God. There is nothing you can do to earn the grace of God. There is not enough good works you could ever do in the course of your lifetime or 1,000 lifetimes that could possibly pay for the grace of God for you. You can't do it. It is a free gift. All you need to do is receive it. And so I invite you today to receive the gift of God's grace, whether that is as a whole thing for your life or whether that's a very specific part of your life because you've already given your life to God. Receive God's gift of grace for you. And as you do that, it's going to make it a whole lot easier to share the gift of grace with others. And then hopefully as God just infuses you with a deeper sense of love and his grace for you, when that driver cuts you off and that person beats you to the shelf with the last item of the exact thing that you needed because it was the perfect gift for your spouse. And guys, you know this has happened on Christmas Eve, right? And they beat you there and they take it off the shelf in front of you. Instead of being filled with bitterness and resentment, you'd be filled with grace. Because you know of the grace that you have been given. You can choose to give the gift of grace because you have received God's gift of amazing grace for you. So this morning, we're going to take some time, as we do, to respond to God. And whatever it is that he has been saying to you this morning. I've had a fair bit to say, but I'm trusting that there is something that he has been talking to you about today. And I want to give you some space to interact with him about that and talk with him about that. And so we're going to have the team come up and we're going to sing some songs and we're going to do our offering time and all those things. And in the midst of all of this, if you would like to come and receive the gift of God's grace, you know, I love how our decorators have done up the sanctuary this year with all of the presents up front and the cross all decorated up. It's such a great picture of the incredible blessing of gifts that God has given to us. Given to us, his kids, that we just get to open and enjoy. And I just want to invite you this morning, if you would like to receive God's gift of grace for you, just to come and maybe spend some time up at the front just receiving that. Just spending a few quiet moments in prayer. Maybe even just in the act of walking up, just receiving that gift from God. And if you would like someone to pray with you, I'm happy to do that. Or one of our elders can always come and pray with you as well. If you don't need that, that's okay. Just take the space for yourself. But I want to invite you to receive that gift today.